In the age of reality television, Americans' lives are an open book. And what he's seeing on the tube makes commentator Joseph C. Phillips wonder, whatever happened to living a virtuous life?
I know I can be a funny guy, but the laughter took me by surprise. During a recent interview, I was asked about my thoughts on personal responsibility. I hesitated a bit. Those two words can be very charged. Often the very mention of personal responsibility will cause eyes to bug and heads to spin like those of the demon possessed. So I decided to tread lightly. I would rather not use the term personal responsibility, I said. I would like to suggest that all choices are not good choices, and that perhaps we need to encourage each other to make more responsible choices. Perhaps, I continued, we should revisit the notion that there is indeed a nexus between virtue and liberty. That's when the reporter laughed. Try as I might, there I was offering one of those Pavlovian words that get people drooling with indignation. The laughter was not a warm chuckle that suggested I was clever or witty, but that kind of wry head-shaking that implied I was out of my mind. The reporter apologized, offering that he meant no offense. It's just interesting, he said. What I found more interesting was that the suggestion that men should strive for moderation and excellence, human excellence, should elicit laughter. I explained to the reporter that man by his nature is prone to lust, fear, jealousy, anger, and a host of other passions. To speak of virtue is to suggest that men are not ruled by our passions. Men of virtue can love wine, women, and song, as they say, but they love them at the right time, right place, and in the right manner, and not so much that they will sacrifice what is good, what is excellent, for want of either one. But what of those forces we can't control, the reporter asked? What of racism, America's inner cities, and the plight of young black men? What possible role can virtue play in their worlds? I don't ascribe to the belief that black folk have survived by accident. We have endured and flourished as a result of the constant striving for virtue in our personal lives. To hear others tell it, black folk should have withered on life's vine long ago. The facts, however, tell an entirely different story. In the face of far more pernicious racism than exists today, black men and women manage to honor each other, honor their children, and honor their communities. It's only today, when we sneer at notions of virtue, when we capitulate to notions that men are weak, slaves to their passions, ruled by their flaws, that men are in effect victims, incapable of changing their circumstances or making an impression upon the world, that men can celebrate music that disrespects their women, father children and not provide them with homes, shoot each other in the street with abandon, kill babies in utero, label academic success inauthentic, and blame it all on forces we can't control. Embracing virtue is to embrace the idea that there are many ways of going wrong, but only one way of going right. Christ called it entering through the narrow gate. Virtue is something one must work towards every day, a discipline, something that is practiced. It requires constant attention, and through the exercising grows strong. And because virtue is a habit, it empowers and liberates. Of course, the knowing snicker on the other end of the phone implies an impotence that is only hobbling. Sorry, but I still don't see what's so funny about that.
Joseph C. Phillips is an actor and author of the book, He Talked Like a White Boy. He lives in Los Angeles.